The MMQB podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek, the best way to find a great deal, pay for your ticket, and get to your seat. Download the SeatGeek app and enter our code MMQB for $20 off your first purchase. We're also sponsored by FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football, with more winners and more payouts than any other site. Enter promo code TheMMQB at FanDuel.com to play a risk-free tournament for up to $10. Today we're doing a special one-off edition of the MMQB podcast. It's a Q&A that I did with Chris Conley in Kansas City right after watching the Star Wars movie. If you're an NFL junkie like I am, you might remember Chris Conley's name from a year ago when he created a Star Wars fan fiction film that has about 500,000 views on YouTube at the moment, which he directed, wrote, and starred in.
I can sense your anger. It makes you stronger.
Chris is a third-round rookie wide receiver now for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he was gracious enough to allow me to accompany him to watch the Star Wars premiere and break it down for us as the foremost Star Wars expert in the NFL. What is your initial gut reaction to the movie?
I really enjoyed it. It's been so long that I've been waiting for this movie to come out. So much anticipation. So many things happened during the film. Unexpected things. Things that caught you off guard. But then ultimately you got back to the core of what Star Wars is and what so many people have connected with over the years. And I'm glad that a new generation can be introduced to something so special.
To me, I fell in love with the first three movies, the 70s versions, and I kind of got disenfranchised by, you know, episode one. I don't know if you felt anything similar, but I was hoping that it would have that feel of the old movies, and it kind of did.
Yeah, you know, there are Star Wars purists who try to disown episodes 1, 2, and 3, but the thing is my generation came in when episodes 1, 2, and 3 were coming out, and so those were the first movies that I connected with, and then I connected with the 70s movies, and so I have an appreciation for all of them, and I think they all have their place in Star Wars canon. Some are better than others, but in terms of the story, and ultimately the story is what I have really connected with, and I just felt like this movie was Star Wars. This universe that you saw was Star Wars, and it was very moving and impactful.
You were born in Turkey on a military base, correct?
Mm-hmm. I was.
When did you move to Georgia, and at what point were you introduced to Star Wars?
I moved to Georgia around the age of 3, and grew up in Georgia and California, and was introduced to Star Wars probably at a young age. My dad's always been into science fiction and movies, and once we saw it, we really took to the story. When I say we, I mean myself and my siblings, and it was really one of those things that we just never let go of. You know, we've always been fans of it. We've always been vocal, and the fact that we're fans, we have every movie. We've watched them a million times. We have movie marathons. And it's gone to the point where it's gone beyond just watching the movies. My brother does cosplay. He makes props and costumes. I myself have done some of the film work and, you know, created some of these stories in this universe. And my sister does some things too. And so it's just something that everyone can connect to. Everyone can, at some level, relate to a part of the story. And I think that's what makes Star Wars so magical.
What was the first episode that you saw?
I remember The Phantom Menace. You know, that's one of the first ones that I remember. And I think that's what got me so entrapped in this story, was this struggle between good and evil, the light and the dark, and starting to follow these characters who, although they have these great powers that they're beginning to understand, are still so left in the dark sometimes at what's really going on in the big picture and the way that the story is going to turn. You know, that's one of the very intriguing things about it, is someone with so much power in many of these instances, has no idea what's going on and has to learn just like everyone else.
That's, to me, one of the most fascinating parts of the story is that you're jumping from planet to planet like every 10, 15 minutes, and there's miscommunication, and you're constantly in flux. There's always this idea that the good is one step behind the bad until the very end of the movie.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that is one of the, you know, key things of Star Wars is, you know, that good will find a way. Good will find a way against all odds. And even if good finds a way, that doesn't mean that there won't be things that happen along the way. And, you know, it's kind of just the story of you have to find a way to do what's best for everyone. It doesn't matter what kind of sacrifices you have to make to do it. And, you know, it's difficult to watch sometimes. It's difficult to watch sometimes because you want things to go other people's way. You want the good guys to win every battle. You want everything to turn out a certain way. And the story just always has a way of keeping you on your toes and keeping you entrapped in it.
What was the impetus for your fan fiction film? What's striking about it is the high production quality.
So you have returned.
None too soon. You were foolish to come. You and your new puppet. I can smell his fear.
How long had you studied film or that world before you got into it?
About 4 days. 4 days before I had our first production meeting. And it was really a crash course on what filmmaking was. A lot of trial by fire. A lot of errors that were made that when I watch it now make me cringe and things that I would never do again. But it was so valuable. Being in the situation, being thrown into the fire like that made me learn so much faster. I was blessed to be surrounded by some really talented people. Grayson Holt did visual effects for us. And, you know, he's a guy who's was born with a laptop, born with a computer and can do it all. And having his help, being able to bring what I had in my head, my vision to life, took the production value up through the roof. And then being able to work with people and find, you know, members of the Mandalorian Mercs and the 501st, people who have these costumes and armors, and being able to bring them in and communicate a vision to them, it really took this thing from being a second-rate, you know, homemade video into something that was a true fan film.
When you were setting this up and you film the final scene in the middle of you know, the football stadium at Georgia, who did you ask permission for that? When did you tell the football program, here's what I'm doing, is it okay?
You know, I had to get those things cleared very early on. At first, I went and talked to my coaches and let them know that, hey, you know, the only reason I'm doing this is because it's something I enjoy. It's the off season and I want to do something productive, and it won't take away from my focus on the field or in the classroom. Once they knew that and they realized what would be happening, it was not that hard to get clearance to do things. There were a lot of holes that I had to jump through, legalities, you know, there were permits that I had to get, and it was an arduous process, but eventually we got it done and got to get to the fun part, which was shooting it, and then you get to do the fun part again when it comes to editing, which can be fun or tedious depending on how you look at it, but overall the process took about 6 months, and throughout it, I learned so much. I had a great time working with the people who are my crew and the cast, and we were ultimately very, very proud of what we came out with.
Give the listeners the 60-second recap of your film.
My film's about a fallen Jedi named Cari Vion, who comes back to the city of Athens to basically finish what he left there. He fled and went to the dark side, and he goes to finish off his old master, and his old master is taking on a new apprentice reluctantly, and in his apprentice he sees much of his last one, and so he goes to Athens to take him out, and it's about that struggle between the dark and the light, and someone who's lost coming home. So it's got a couple of things going on.
Darkness will fall. You have lost, old man.
We want to thank FanDuel for sponsoring the podcast all season long at the MMQB. If you haven't yet tried 1 week fantasy football, you still have a few chances left. Use our code THEMMQB to play risk-free on FanDuel. That's any contest entered up to $10. If you win, you keep the money. If you lose, they will refund your account for more play. FanDuel is the best place to play 1 week fantasy football. Building a team is easy and fun. Just pick your players and stay under the salary cap. Entry fees start at just $1. To get started, go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use the code THEMMQB and sign up now. Here's the offer. If you enter a league and you don't win, FanDuel will refund your money. That's any contest you want up to $10. You can sign up on FanDuel.com using the code THEMMQB. The only way to get this no-lose offer is to go to FanDuel.com and click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Be sure to try it out today.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
As we came in here, you know, when right before the movie, were you nervous at all that it wouldn't fulfill all of your expectations?
I think everyone on some level was a bit nervous. Everyone who's a true fan of Star Wars, more so for the fact that we've enjoyed so much of this franchise, of this story, this universe. We don't want injustice to be done to those people who are coming into it fresh. We want those people to be able to enjoy it and connect with it just like we have. And I felt like this film did that for me. You know, sitting there were multiple times throughout the movie that it just hit me right in the feels, you know, and brought back memories from when I was a kid, brought back, you know, all this random knowledge and facts that I know from the extended universe. And this movie connected just like right to it. And it's opened up so many doors for where they can go next.
I don't remember, and like I said, I didn't love the second generation of films, but I don't remember a young African-American male character the way, you know, Finn was portrayed as this, you know, heroic type of guy. He was probably had the most face time in the movie or second most. Did it mean anything to you that they cast that role that way? And could you ever see yourself in another life playing that role?
You know, I was very proud of the way that Abrams directed this film. It stayed true to what Star Wars is, but at the same time, it was fresh, it was young, it was new, and as it should be. I don't think that he should have gone into this trying to be George Lucas. But at the same time, he was doing a Star Wars film, and he stayed true to that. Finn was a great character. His actions and his personality shone greatly throughout the film. I remember when they had the open casting for the two lead roles of Finn and Rey. I was so tempted to go and audition because they had an audition that was hours from where I was at. And unfortunately, you know, being a football player, you're always busy and you're always on a schedule. And I knew that if I had gone for that audition and you get a call back, you're basically saying, hey, coach, I'm done. This is it for me. And I knew I couldn't do that to my teammates. So I had to take the L on that. But I'm so proud of the way that they casted this film. It was fresh and the actors did a great job.
Where were you and where were they doing the open auditions?
I think they had one. I think they had an audition in Tennessee. I don't think they had one in Atlanta. But they had some north and south of Georgia that you could go to. And I heard that the turnout for those things was huge. But, you know, always in the back of your mind, you think, oh, what if I had gone? What if I had, you know, gone and tried out for that? But, no, you know, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
When you were entering the league, this was out there. It had probably, what, 400,000 views on YouTube, the fan fiction film that you made. When you're in the scouting process, the combine interviews, just the whole run-up to the draft, how many times did you get asked by NFL people about this movie and this love for Star Wars?
Countless times. You know, these teams make a big investment in you when they want to bring you in. And And they got to know if they can count on you, especially in the position that I play. They need guys that are focused, guys that can make plays, guys that aren't going to be high maintenance. And I got asked this question everywhere I went. What's up with this filmmaking thing? It was more so about the filmmaking than Star Wars per se itself. I got asked many times if I'd rather be playing football or if I'd rather be pursuing film in Hollywood. And I had to let them know, you know, that's something for later. You know, everyone has to have a backup plan. Everybody has to have something that they're ready to do when their football career ends. And, you know, I put so much time and effort into playing football. So many people have sacrificed for me to get here. You know, this is where all my focus is right now.
You talk about that time and effort. It had to create a little bit of resentment that you're now being questioned on how much you love football. And you put just as much into it as anybody, any other wide receiver entering the draft.
They want their athletes to be intelligent people who are well-rounded. But at the same time, when someone comes up to them that may be too well-rounded, people get nervous. They get nervous and they start to question if that person really wants to be there. You know, because the reality is there's a lot of people who play this sport at this level who had no other options, who this was, you know, the only thing that they had going for them. But then at the same token, there's a lot of people in this league who have many other talents and who have other areas and ways in which they can reach people.
Before we continue, I want to tell the listeners a little bit about our sponsor, SeatGeek. It's the holiday season, a fantastic time to spend with family. If you are a Chiefs fan and you want to watch Chris Conley and company on this winning streak, they've got a game December 27th, a couple days after Christmas, against the Cleveland Browns. And the best way to get your butt in the seats for that game is on SeatGeek. It's a site that pulls all the ticket buying and selling options from other ticket sites into one place to save you time. SeatGeek knows the fair market value of every ticket. They use that information to show you the best deals and help you find underpriced seats. Also, if you have tickets you can't use, SeatGeek will help you quickly sell them to another fan. So, to redeem your promo code and get your $20 check, download the free SeatGeek app today, enter promo code MMQB in the app. SeatGeek will then send you $20 once you've made your first purchase. For the NFL, NBA, and the best concerts, and of course, to see the Kansas City Chiefs, try the SeatGeek app, and don't forget to enter our code MMQB.
When you look at this film and you look at the guys who, you know, you play with or the people you've played for, are there parallels that you see with characters? I mean, is there a Mark Richt in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah, you know, whenever you see a coaching figure, you think of somebody who is, you know, probably like a Jedi master. I would probably say Coach Richt and Coach Reed have a bit of Yoda in them. You know, the person who's always there overseeing, not too overbearing, but always has words of wisdom. More so Coach Reed, because he always has jokes that he'll throw in here and there. So he reminds me of an older Yoda. You know, we have guys all around the locker room who remind you of different characters here and there. You probably would say, I'd probably say, you know, Travis Kelce's probably the Han Solo of the locker room. You might want either him or J-Mac. You know, those are the two guys who think they're extremely smooth. They may be smooth, but they definitely think they are, just like Han Solo. Got people who are Old Faithful, you know, and the best. I don't know. Is this a spoiler if I say Poe from the film?
I don't think so.
But you know, the aces. You have the aces in the locker room who you can always count on, who have been doing things for a long time, kind of like Jason Avant. And then you have, you know, I guess the Sith in the locker room would probably be the guys on the defense, the D line, who Justin Houston or Tom Bahali. When you look into that into their face mask, you probably see some of those masks like Vader and Kylo Ren. So, yeah, I mean, there's parallels all throughout the place. I can make comparisons for days, but, you know, they're good guys.
One of the great stories in this league right now, and it really hasn't been told in full, is Eric Berry's comeback. Is there an Eric Berry character in the Star Wars universe? And just, like, what are some of the things that you observe about him that stand out to you?
You know, Eric Berry has always been a selfless guy, and he may not, before this, have gotten all the credit that he deserves, but he's always done the right thing. He's always been a leader. He's always stood up for what's right, and always taken other people under his wing, and tried to show them the right way to go. He's been a tremendous leader for us, and a great playmaker. And I'd probably say, you know, with that being said, I'd probably say Eric Berry is like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, the guy who always does the right thing, but everyone might not see his contribution that he made. You know. So I think that's Eric, and he doesn't seek that attention either. He just goes about his business and does what he's supposed to do, and tremendous leader.
I wanted to go back to one of your Yodas, Mark Richt. When he was let go, resigned from the University of Georgia, I guess it's been more than a decade he was there, right? When you had a heartfelt Twitter message for him, and you were one of the players that, you know, was part of the outpouring of support, what did you think when you saw that news, and what kind of impact did he have on your life for the time you were there?
He had a tremendous impact on not only my life, but other people who played under him. We, as players, former players, got together and just tried to love on Coach Richt as much as we could and let him know how much we support and how much we're thankful for what he taught us during our time there. We really came in as boys and left as men, and that was one of the most important things that Coach Richt and, you know, one of the greatest things he could have ever done for us. Football is here one day and gone the next, but Coach Richt was about making men, about making people who could go out into society and make this world a better place, be great husbands, be great leaders. And ultimately, I think that translated to the way that we played the game.
You're wearing this shirt, and I think it's got Vader on the front here, and it says George on the side and Star Wars underneath. How did you get this made? What's the story behind that?
You know, it's kind of funny, actually. Star Wars started coming out with college apparel and a lot of Georgia apparel right after I released my short film. So they definitely capitalized on all the college Star Wars drama that was going on and came out with all of these lines. I had so many people asking me and telling me, hey, great job with the clothing line that you came out with. You know, it's great. Who'd you get with in order to do that? But it came out right when the video went viral.
You got some razzing this week from teammates. They were surprised you even showed up for work today. Who was it that is kind of the driving force behind all that?
There's everyone. You know, my locker's right by Jeremy Macklin's, and he likes to poke fun all the time. Great guy. But he hasn't seen Star Wars, and he's not a big fan. But I try to explain the story to him and things like that. But everyone else in the locker room knows that this is something that I'm into. And many of them are. They're just like me, and they're huge fans of this franchise. But some of them don't take it to the extent that I take it to, you know, making a fan film about it. I don't know many people who do, but, you know, it's all in fun. And once again, it's something that everyone can relate to in a different way. And I've seen that in that locker room. There's different guys who like it for different reasons.
Were you surprised at all by the number of guys who were fans and weren't fans? Did you think that there would be more or less than there are?
I don't know. You know, football can be this macho man sport where a lot of guys don't like to admit that they're fans of things, especially things that could be considered nerdy. Are way too far out there, but I'm definitely proud of the fact that there's a lot of guys who can stand up and be like, yeah, you know, I love Star Wars. You know, that's something that's really cool. I think what gets me the most is when I go out in public and I see someone who's like, oh, I've never seen or heard of Star Wars. Okay, how have you been living in this country for that long and never seen or heard of a Star Wars movie? That's what gets me, not the people who decide to stand up and support it.
You were a little bit angry walking out of the theater here because we were listening to some kids and talking about it, and they clearly had just no understanding of the story.
None whatsoever. And the fact is, they weren't young kids. They looked like they were in their mid to late 20s, you know, and they had no idea what was going on, not to mention they were talking during the movie. But you know, I wasn't too proud of the way that they were talking about my Star Wars. They're sitting there saying, I have so many questions, and I just wanted to stand up and say, hey, well, go home and watch the other movies and stop talking in ours. So, you know, it's all good, but I think they were made fans of the genre today too, and I think that's the good thing about it.
Last thing for you, at this stage in your career, I mean, the Chiefs are surging. You're a part of it. You know, I don't know if this rookie year has gone the way that you envisioned it, or maybe it did. Who are you in the Star Wars universe at this point in your career?
You know, it would be great if I could use references and not spoil this movie, but I won't do that for people. But, you know, for me right now, this year has been a huge learning process, learning not only about the game of football, but learning about myself. And so I'd probably say that I'm just the generic Padawan right now, you know, trying to learn my craft, get to the point where I can do these things consistently, explosively, and help my team win in any way possible.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me.
No problem.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.